Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. My dream come true. We've been talking about this since February. We've got this is Steel Crazy Steel Band from, and I know everybody's from the western suburbs. We're going to talk to. We've got how many pieces do we have in here? Ten pieces.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to talk to Dave Segrin. And Dave, what instrument do you play?
I play the drum set and help direct the band.
And Carla Kasner?
I play double tenors and been playing for about 28 years.
I want the listeners to know, before we have the specific questions, tell us about the instrumentation we have and introduce everybody, because it was quite a feat for all you guys to come down here, so I really, really appreciate it. So tell us who we got.
All right. Over on my right, this is for you that can't see, we've got Marianne on basses. Let's hear a little basses, Marianne.
Yeah.
Marianne on basses. Next, coming up in pitch, we have Jan on cellos. Next on pitch coming up, we've got Chris on double seconds. Coming up again on double tenors.
Pat.
Dave Hoekstra.
We have Pat Myers. And then we've got three lovely ladies on lead, also on double tenors. We have the lovely and talented Carla Kasner, who's on the mic right now. And then our three lead players, we have Judy Crimmin, Sharon Haynes, and Trish Glenn.
And when you say lead, what instrument? Lead?
The leads, we have a single tenor and two double seconds, which are set up to be lead instruments.
I mean, this is really, really something. I'm really glad we pulled this off. What'd you say? How many steel, 55-gallon oil drums? How many do we have in here?
Oh, with the total of them? Got to be somewhere around 25, 28, 30.
And where'd you get those?
Every instrument is handmade. Most of these were made by a man out of Canada by the name of
Earl Wong.
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell us how the group got together. Was it 2006? Is this 10 years?
Oh, it's way longer.
Okay. Tell us
probably
how this all
last century for some of us. Actually, for most of us, yes. And we all met. This was offered as a community college. Community class, a nighttime steel band.
Where was this at?
Waubonsie Community College, which serves Aurora, Illinois.
Yeah. I grew up in. I went to high school in Naperville, so I know.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So that was a class. Is that common?
Yeah.
Did they offer that many colleges?
Yes, it's picking up. Just like in the 60s, jazz became popular in colleges. Steel bands are becoming popular now since about 2000.
And how many people were in this class, and how did this group form out of that class?
This group. 90% of them had been playing together in excess of 10 years in the class, some as many as near 20. And eventually they all got their own pans instead of using the college's pans. And then they didn't even tell me that they planned to leave the college. They said, we're going to start a band. So we started doing that. And then they kind of totally split and took me with them.
And when was that?
2006.
Okay, now Carla, your first gig was above the aboard the Norwegian cruise ship, the Jewel. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. How did that come about?
The first time after we actually left the college and formed our own band, Mary Ann, our bass player, she entered a contest and wrote how, as friends, not only are we musicians together, but we share everything in life together. And she sent an essay in about it and won. And so Good Morning America took us and the guys also on a one-week cruise, and we played every morning on Good Morning America.
Really?
So it was awesome. Yeah.
Really? And what kind of songs did you cover?
We did reggae, calypso, soca.
I would like to point out that the girls won the contest as, you know, group of girlfriends, and they asked them to play, and they said, we won't do it without our drummer, so I got the free cruise, too. They brought me in, and I appreciate that, ladies.
Okay. We got to take a quick break for some spots, and we'll come back and talk more about the roots of the band after this on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, and we're here with our friends from the Steel, Crazy Steel Band, and we got the spokespeople, Carla Kasner and Dave Segrin. I saw you guys, I met you guys years ago in the parking lot of Alpine Valley at a Buffett show. It was, and I've seen you a couple of times since then, and it's just amazing. You have your own show going on. I mean, you have a huge crowd. I believe you have a tent pitched up and stuff. Mm-hmm. So tell me how that happens. I mean,
You know what?
When did you start doing that? And
we've been doing it about 9 years at the parking lot because, of course, we love Jimmy Buffett music. And so when we go tailgating, we just decided, let's bring our drums and play during the day. And it's gone. We have people. We've gotten a lot of jobs out of it. And we've got a lot of people that email us and say, where are you going to be? Let us know because we want to come here. So yeah, it's been fun.
It is a lot of fun. And I believe, although the first time I went was when we played, the ladies had just gone to party several times before. They said, hey, we're going to bring the steel drums and Dave.
Yeah. Do you just do Alpine or do you do other Buffett shows? Or Alpine's so great.
It's the coolest place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, when I've seen you there, I've picked up some of your CDs. So tell the listeners how they can find you. And here I've got in my hand Steel Crazy Steel Band, Stealing Away. So yes. Tell us about your website and any gigs coming up and stuff like that.
Okay, we do have, just in a couple of weeks, we'll be playing at Cantini. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that location. On the 29th, it's a Sunday, and we're playing in the afternoons there. And our CDs, I think we have actually 4 CDs or 3. I'm not even sure because we've recorded some that we don't put out anymore. But they can go to our website.
There are 3 in print right now.
3 in print, okay, that you can get. But you can go to www.steelcrazyband.com, or you can go on Facebook. We have some videos on there of our band and information.
In preparing for the show, we were talking about through emails and stuff how everybody has an interesting story. What are some of the stories that people bring to the band musically and personally that you might want to share? Anybody can jump on that.
Yeah.
Trish
has been in the longest.
Trish.
That makes her our oldest member.
Yeah.
I joined the band in January of 1984. And because I was taking piano lessons, and my piano teacher wanted his students to play in an ensemble, and he said, they've started one at night, and I'd really like for you to play. And I'm still playing steel drums and sold my piano last year.
Really? 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 Okay. Eric? You also play in another band?
Yeah, I play in a band called Functional Family. Another small band. It's another 10-piece, but it's a rock and roll band with a full horn section and lots of vocalists and that. And I have been playing with Dave in various bands since 1979.
Since 1979.
So we've been playing together for an awful long time.
How often do you guys play out? I mean, it's hard to move all this stuff around, as I've seen.
It just depends. Yeah. We practice every week, but we just got done doing 3 jobs in Wisconsin, and then we came back down here and had a couple jobs in a row. And so I'd say we have 2 or 3 a month. In the summer, of course, it gets a little busier.
For some reason, we've become very popular in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
recently.
Wisconsin. And Iowa.
What is it about this music? I just love calypso. I love steel drums. I went to Carnival in Trinidad, and I love the history. I love the sound. What is it that just makes people feel good about hearing steel drums?
It's happy music.
Yeah, yeah. Can you elaborate on that?
It is so hard to put my finger on. Am I the only one that studied music? I have a degree in music. And it's real hard to put my finger on what it is, especially the pan, that just makes you happy. It just, I mean, I guess what I mean is, I don't know.
Yeah. And how do you pick your material then? I mean, I'm looking at the CD I brought in. You do everything from, you know, what you might expect, One Particular Harbor by Buffett, but you also do Crocodile Rock, Montego Bay. I mean, how do you pick the songs?
Well, Dave and I do the arranging for the band, and for me, it's just I'll be driving down the road and I'll hear a song on the radio and I'll think, okay, that will sound pretty cool, and I'll work it out, bring it into rehearsal, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know. And so if it does, we fit it into the, you know, playlist.
There are at least 2 songs. One comes to mind, Coba Cabana, that I actually arranged on a dare. Yeah. Someone said, I dare you to do that. I'm like, well, it's Caribbean. We'll do that. And so,
is it hard? I mean, is this a large ensemble? Is it hard to arrange for 10 people? Or is this a typical ensemble?
it is actually very much a typical ensemble, only the instruments are unique. And once you get used to them, arranging like this is just like arranging for like a small, well, medium-sized jazz band.
Okay, okay. We're going to take a break with David Jennings in the news and you're going to come back and play another song for us, right?
Yeah, that'll be an original, one of my tunes, called Cungalypso.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN, and that's the Steel Crazy Steel Band. We're so happy to have the band. Is there a home? I mean, the Western Suburbs, is that what I should say? Is there a home base for the band?
We rehearse in Aurora.
Aurora, okay.
Yes.
All right, okay. And tell us about that composition we just heard.
That is an original that I...
This is Dave Seagram, by the way. Yeah, okay.
I'm waving.
Yeah.
This is radio and I'm waving.
Yeah.
Anyway... It's a song called Cungalypso, and what had happened was that I just had that conga line, dun-dun-dun-dun, stuck in my head. And so it's the first thing that I play all different instruments and whatnot, and that's the first thing I actually arranged specifically for Pan. And I did it just to try and get dun-dun-dun-dun-dun out of my head by putting it in everybody else's head.
And when you say, let's do this 101, when you say Pan, what do you mean?
Pan is the the steel pan, most Americans will call it steel drum. Pan, with their accent, pan, is what they call it down in Trinidad.
Right. And we were talking during the break. I've only been to Trinidad once, but I've read, you know, read about it. And talk about how the oil industry, they're known for their oil, and how that influenced the drums and how that just influenced the roots of this music in the 1930s.
That really, the fact that we're using oil drums is entirely related to the fact that, that Trinidad is a petroleum-rich country. Yeah, it the instrument actually started from the government at the time outlawing drums and drumming. Originally, the British had abolished slavery decades before we did here, but the class system stayed in. And the cane cutters wound up being about two-thirds African brought over as slaves, about one-third from India brought over to work. And they would, they, at the center of everything, whether it was a wedding or a funeral, would play drums. And so the British figured if a revolt would come out of the drums. So they outlawed drums. And then over time, they figured different things to beat on and whatnot. And about the turn of last century, the 1900, you see like milk pails popping up with just two different dents in them. Like, hey, this dent, ding, ding, sounds different than that dent, ding, ding. So by 1939, the first pitch steel pan, as we know it, with actual notes in it, surfaced. When I say surfaced, it was still illegal at the time.
55-gallon, I mean, you're loyal to that. That's why is it always 55? That's what they do there in Trinidad. I mean, is there why not 60? Why not 40? What type of range? Why 55 gallons?
I imagine that that came there because that was the standard for, that the U.S. military was using, and it was a big fueling depot during World War II.
And you have the 55 in your group.
Yes, they are just now starting to. Certain pan makers build them from scratch, buying sheets of steel. But up until now, the 55-gallon oil drum has been the center of pan.
How many other people are doing this around Chicago? I mean, are there any other groups like this, or do you have this whole thing to yourself?
As far as the full steel band, I think we are the only group outside of academia that has a full steel band.
That's there fantastic.
Are at least half a dozen college and high school steel bands around.
You know, and I want to try to remove it from just a novelty thing. I mean, have you talked to master steel drummers? I mean, everybody, go back to Buffett, but, you know, Jimmy Buffett, but, I mean, Robert Greenidge is a master steel drummer from Trinidad. And,
yes.
And who do you listen to? Who do you get your influences from?
I get them from all over the place. I am so obtuse in my musical tastes. When it comes to the pan, we're very fortunate in that Northern Illinois University, just 40 miles west of here, has one of the first college steel bands in America, and their tuner, the man who maintains these pans, Mr. Cliff Alexis, a close personal friend of Robert Greenidge, is the co-director and pan builder for their. So I have.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's been around. He actually told me as a kid they used to practice pan out in the woods. So the cops couldn't find them. And if the cops found them, they would beat them up and smash their pans. That's how recently pan has become what it is today, so accepted and whatnot, within living memory.
Wow. Carla, what's some of the more unique gigs you've done? I mean, where you've really connected with an audience and the response you've gotten.
The three gigs we played in Wisconsin. The first gig we played for a church had a K-8 class, and those kids just went crazy for us.
Kids always love the music. There's something about it. No matter where we play, if there's children, they are up dancing. They can't hardly sit still. But, and we've played for the Shower Center up in Wisconsin in Hartford, and that's
for me, that was a banner night for this band.
What is that?
It's a fine arts center has performances in that, and they've had us back a couple times up there to play.
And that was a banner night for this band. That was our first ever double encore. I was really, I am so proud of that. Kept us on for two songs.
We also did a workshop there, and the workshop was sold out, you know, for people coming in, and we told them about pans, and each of them could stand at a pan, and we taught them to play a little something, you know, so it was really fun.
Yeah, what questions do they ask at a workshop?
They always ask if we have an organ or some background music playing along with us. That is always asked at every concert. because I think it's pretty hard for people to realize that we have that sound, that fullness, you know, and it comes mostly, I think, from the basses and cellos that really rings like almost like an organ or piano or recorded music.
That is important for the listeners at home, that everything you're hearing us playing here is entirely acoustic. There is no electricity involved at all. This is an acoustic, as acoustic as, say, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. It is just...
Yeah, all green. It's an all green band.
Yes.
Yeah. No vocals. Why are there no vocals in this?
They've tried to get us to sing.
Have they really?
Yeah, there's several of us, not me, that sing and sing pretty well, but we've just, and it's always been a thing with pan that the pop music isn't played by all pans, and then the all pan music isn't pop and doesn't have the vocals.
Yeah. Is there anybody in the group that kind of was not that familiar with this and really came to them? I mean, you were in class and stuff, and you learned about it. Is there anybody? Or were you all, like, knee-deep into it when you
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
say your name again.
I'm Trish.
Okay, Trish.
I have a bad cold, so I'm still my voice.
Trish Glenn is the co-director and co-arranger for the Steel Band.
Yeah, what did you know coming into it, and what did you learn?
I knew absolutely nothing. I was a piano player and a singer. And a good friend of mine, Mark Pelsarski, he was a teacher that I taught with, and he saw the Navy Steel Band play at Northern, found out there was the program at Waubonsie, and he and I used to get together to play guitar and, you know, piano and stuff, and he said, "Hey, want to go to a class?"
Yeah.
And I went with him that first night. We were playing a song by the end of the first class. And that was over 30 years ago.
And how'd you feel? I mean, what was it like for you?
Oh, it was awesome.
It was?
I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, I've been a teacher, you know, all my life, but if I could have played my pans all my life, too, I'd be doing that.
Anybody else on that? Yeah, go ahead.
The first time I saw a steel band, was actually Waubonsie's band in a parade. And like many people, I mistakenly thought that they were playing percussion to a recording. That's something that we get asked quite often. Where's the music coming from? Where's the tape recorder or whatever?
Right. Now, when we were talking about putting this together, and like I said, we worked a long time to try to get you guys in here. And again, for somebody who might just be tuning in, how many pieces do we have here in the studio?
There's
10.
And Carla, you were pretty firm that you had to do it all as one group. I couldn't bring in just like seven or eight people.
It wouldn't sound the same.
Why is that? Why are you so loyal to that?
Because we have, you know, the bass part, the cello part, the double seconds, which are like a strumming part, the leads, the harmonizing tenors. And I think it'd be really difficult unless you did have backup music playing with it. I just don't think you'd get the sound.
Yeah. And I find it necessary to, Eric and I, being younger and guys, all the rest are women, these ladies have become this group of friends. They take vacations together. Yeah. That's the bond between these ladies. And Eric and I, well, we can't afford vacations. That's part of what this group has.
You've got friends at Good Morning America. I see a reality show coming. The Steel Crazy series. They'd be very popular. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Do you want to play it out with one more song after the break? Okay, so don't go away for more Steel Crazy on WGN. We'll be right back. Thank you so much. I need a little more rum with that Coke. That was very good. That's Harry Belafonte. Harry Belafonte jumping the line. A hipster saint of the whole movement. I mean, you began with a Harry Belafonte thing.
Yep.
Big influence on you guys.
As it turns out, yes, and it spans so many generations. We get requested like that and Yellowbird over and over from grade schoolers to seniors.
Yeah, and Yellowbird. Like I said, all these Calypso albums I get. It's Yellowbird. Yeah. Why is Yellowbird so popular? I'd rather hear Jump on the Line, but
yeah.
It's like, so let's, before we sign off, give me the rundown again. Tell me about your upcoming gigs, and tell me your website.
Okay, we are Steel Crazy Steel Drum Band, steelcrazyband.com, as usual, no spaces and all of that good stuff. We will be playing at Cantini on the 29th of this month, 3 to 4:30. That's Cantini in Wheaton, Illinois, right on Route 38 and Winfield Road. And that should be a lot of fun. We've got pretty much the rest of our jobs are private until September, when we will be out west in what town is that?
Morrison.
In Morrison. Washington County Fair in Wisconsin.
Have you done any cruise ships since that first gig?
We have not, and the cruise ship gig is one where they kind of expect 2 months on. So after everybody's retired and they are one at a time retiring, we might just do that. That's a neat idea.
Has Buffett? I know he videotapes the parking lots for his show and stuff. Has he ever come up and seen you guys? Is he aware of what you guys do?
I do not know.
Yeah, you've never been on the big screen when he does that.
We've seen some of the other members of his band go by, but we've never seen him.
Yeah. And your CDs, how many CDs do you have out?
We have 3 CDs out, and they are $10 a piece. You can catch at any live show. We would be happy to sell you one. And a special deal, all 3 for $30.
And how many of them are original? I mean, how many original songs on each CD?
There's actually only 2 original songs total that we have. One that Trish has done that we didn't do called...
Steel Crazy.
Oh, really? The anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who named the band?
That was a group thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you again. Thanks so much for making the effort to come down,
Dave,
and join us.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been a highlight of my year.
Well, me too. I mean, to get all this stuff in the studio has just really, really been tremendous. Yeah. How many cars did you bring down here?
Six car loads.
I really appreciate it. So thanks to the Steel Crazy Steel Band. Thanks to
You're
Carla
welcome.
Kasner. Thanks for, like, we were back and forth for months on this.